Sages Words на Paradise Lost. Скоро ще станат цели 20 години от излизането на този албум и тази песен. А сигурно си спомняте, че през септември миналата година имахме фантастичното удоволствие да присъстваме на един исторически концерт. Paradise Lost с оркестър в Античния театър в Пловдив за първи път. Сега в нашето студио е техният менеджер, господин Нанди Фарол. Мистер Фарол, hello, how are you? You should probably bring the mic closer to you. It's a Shure SM58. Sorry, I didn't tell you before.
Okay, so is that okay?
Yeah, you said you're okay. How come?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just been to Plovdiv. Pronouncing it properly to look at the place where the band played and discussing bringing other bands to the area to do these kind of concerts with the orchestra.
Yeah. Току-що се връщаме всъщност с Анди от Пловдив, така че го питах как си. Той каза, добре съм, бяхме в Пловдив, там където Paradise Lost свириха, обсъдихме възможността да, за наши други групи да свирят. So basically, let's continue with a kind of an introduction to Northern Music, your company. What other bands do you manage, okay, besides Paradise Lost?
Okay, we manage OPEF, Catatonia, Devin Townsend Project, Bloodbath, Valenfire, 65 Days of Static, and you'll know us by the Trail of Dead, Swedish producer called Jens Bogren, and we'll be managing the artist Travis, who's done a lot of Catatonia OPEF album sleeves.
But this is Travis, not the not the Scottish band. Why does it always rain on me?
No. This is the kind of graphic designer artist based in San Diego.
Всъщност Northern Music, компанията на Анди. Кои са другите групи, за които ти се грижиш? Той каза OPEF, Catatonia, проектора Devin Townsend, Bloodbath, Valenfire, както и Jens Bogren и Travis, но това не е онази шотландска група, която пееше това парче, което аз изпях. Всъщност не е, става дума за графичния дизайнер. How long have you been in the business? Basically this.
Well, professionally, earning a living from it, 30 years. But I started out with a narco punk when I was about 16, selling tapes around the world, so 16, that was a long time ago, 34 years ago. I think at 21, I had a band signed to Warner Brothers, and I kind of went on from there. But my background was very much do-it-yourself, underground, punk stuff, tape trading.
От колко години се занимаваш с това? Той каза практически професионално и печеля пари от 30 години до... Всъщност започнах с анархопънк, така беше сцената, когато още бях на 16. На 21 вече имах група с брат ми, но практически тогава се занимавах вече с размяна на касети, тази култура do it yourself, направи си сам. Практически цял живот съм се занимавал с музика. Well, there are so many questions I want to ask you because you're coming from the source, the country where the UK, England especially, where basically all these scenes were born. But not before we listen to that Catatonia Dead Letters stuff that I really like. Mm. I hope you enjoyed it too. Mm. Thank you. Internal void. Time is fair. Колко хубаво си изкарахме с кататория, сега ще преминем и към музика на Opeth. This song is still in our chart. Парчето Къспа Витерити е все така в класацията Tangra Top 40. Менеджера на всичките тези групи, Andy Farrow от Northern Music, е в нашето студио. Well, before getting into back to music again, what is your feeling after a couple of days in Bulgaria? You have never been here before.
Well, it's always interesting to come to a country where you send bands and, you know, to see what the venues, see what the scene's like. Interesting to see how people consume music around the world. Obviously, a lot of countries in Eastern Europe, many years ago when the wall first came down, we had bands would play in Poland and stuff, and they become very important markets, and you get a huge live audiences. You don't always get the CD sales, so... You know, it's a beautiful city. Obviously, I've been to two cities here, and you know, when I come to a country, I try and take as much information in so that I can bring bands here and kind of approach it the right way, whether it's ticket prices.
Bring or not bring the bands to a place?
No. I bring them to the place. I mean, there was a time where Paradise Lost went on to EMI, and I went to every country in Europe. And I sat down with the managing directors, and some of them, they were like, you could tell whether they were into it or not. So it gives you an idea, are we going to concentrate? You know, when it was all about selling records, you would focus on major territories or somewhere where there was a push. Whereas now, I think, say, secondary markets, which is what Bulgaria is, becoming more important on the live scene, because, you know, plenty of people come and there's a hunger for music, and they're not overly spoilt with it. Mm-hmm. Much like in England, you know, your places like London, Manchester get so many bands, and the audience can be a bit boring. And so if you play a regional gig, they don't get as many and they're hungry for music. So yeah, to me, it's about taking an approach to see what works in a country, whether people buy t-shirts, pricing of music, all of these kind of things.
Всъщност, да, от няколко дни той успя да разгледа София и Пловдив, както и някои концерти, зали, как ги намираш. Хубави места, ясно е, че той е такъв човек, такъв менеджер, който ходи и проверява по какъв начин групите му, когато свирят в конкретната страна, да се случи най-добре концерт. Аз казах и решаваш дали да свирят там или не. Той каза не, винаги свирят, разбира се. Още повече, че ако преди, когато бяха важни продажбите на албуми, ето Paradise Lost в известен момент бяха в EMI, говорихме за това как България е пазар от по-втора категория, защото не се продава толкова албуми, при концертите е по-друго, още повече, че за разлика от Лондон и Манчестър, където има толкова много концерти непрекъснато и публиката прави концерта малко по-скучен, тук все още рее така. Така че всъщност и двата града ми харесаха и така нататък. Well, speaking about Paradise Lost and this very interesting from historical point of view show, if you like, and Plovdiv, the question is, I know this is not part of the live market anymore, it's about releasing the DVD and stuff, mm-hmm. but you are the manager, so you're probably in the best position to tell us when this album is going to be released. Not album, but DVD and Blu-ray.
Well, the DVD, well, the band, I'm going to just do a little plug. Their new album will be out June the 1st, so the DVD will probably be at the final quarter of this year. So at the moment, we're editing the DVD, putting some effects on it, additional interview. So probably I would say at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Въпросът е, естествено, след като се върнахме към Paradise Lost и техния концерт в Пловдив, е, защото именно Анди е човекът, който като менеджер може да ни каже кога ще излезе този концерт на DVD и Blu-ray. Той каза, ще се възползвам от това, че съм по радиото, за да кажа, че преди това новият албум на Paradise Lost ще излезе на 1 юни. А пък в момента работим и по DVD-то, добавяме и допълнителни бонуси в него, интервюта и така нататък. Бих казал, че в последната четвърт на годината, т.е. става дума за есента и така нататък. Please tell me, you mentioned your own life, like being in anarcho-punk when only 16. Mm-hmm. Tell us, who is the most popular and the biggest celebrity in the Farrow family?
You have nothing to do with Mia Farrow, right?
No. The biggest celebrity, well, probably my brother. He's in a similar business to me, but yeah, Mia Farrow, yeah, no, there's no celebrity there.
Mm-hmm. Попитах го, добре, да всъщност ще ти кажеш ли коя е най-известната фигура от семейство Фаро по света. Той се замисля, как не е Мия Фаро, дали знаете, това е жената, дългогодишната съпруга на Вуди Ялън. Той каза, не, разбира се, вероятно най-известният е брат ми. Той се занимава с същия бизнес като мен. Аз ще си позволя да добавя, защото знам, че всъщност той е по-малкият брат на Анди. Okay, so it's priceless to have a man like you talking with us, because you see all the aspects, all the angles of a business that for more than 60 years now, all the books talking about music, all the movies, documentaries, and we can see the result with how people change while in a band. It all tell us that it's a very cruel business. Actually, is it?
Yeah. It's a very cruel business when friends of mine that have children and their kids want to be in a band, and I'm going, oh, you should train to be a lawyer or something like that. I mean,
are you saying this?
Well, this is what I say to my friends. I mean, it's like if people think I'm going to be in a band, I'm going to make loads of money and blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. I mean, I call it like being in the army without the rules. With no rules, in that, you know, you go on tours of countries, but, you know, yeah, you can get drunk, you get out of order and stuff, but it's certainly, there's a lot of travel, a lot of hard work, it takes huge dedication, and these days is very, very hard to make money, and psychologically, I've managed American bands, and American bands have this kind of American dream attitude. So they kind of work harder, whereas English bands, you know, they might be given money by the government, and they have a slightly different attitude. It's like, you know, it's like, do you owe us a living? You know, there was the Crass song and all of that. And it's, I think, some countries like Canada, Finland, their government support musicians touring. You don't get anything like that in Britain. So it's definitely, it's tough. I mean, for the adoration when you're on stage, if you can get that buzz, that's great, and you love it. But it's like if you're going into a band and thinking instantly you're going to make money, it's very, very hard.
Въпросът беше, добре, предвид факта, че ти си менеджер, и освен това ще ви кажа, че Анди, освен фирмата Northern Music, също така има и лейбъл, т.е. издателска компания, също така се занимава и с сувенири. Има и концертна агенция, не на последно има и компания, която се занимава с издателски права. Въпросът е, този бизнес, всички филми, книги, документални ленти и така нататък ни убеждават, че е един адски свиреп и жесток бизнес. Така ли е всъщност? Той каза, бих казал, че това е като да си в армията, без обаче правилата. Наистина трябва адски много да се работи, и винаги казвам на родителите и на деца, мои приятели, които искат да влязат в този бизнес, че ако си мислят, че влизайки в него, те веднага ще станат ужасно известни и богати, не, има адски много работа в това. Бил съм менеджер и на много американски формации. Те се различават от британските по това, че ако британците често си мислят, че могат да вземат примерно някаква помощ, субсидии от правителството, защото, например, в държави като Канада и Финландия по направление култура, групите взимат такива пари, то американците са много по-организирали, с самодисциплина, и много повече се подготвят, още повече, че те живеят с това отношение към света на американската мечта, но наистина труден бизнес, но трябва наистина много да се работи. Well, you mentioned America, and for years, well, during all this period where rock and roll was, well, like these 60 years, it's always been this, the US and the UK, well, we know why, basically. Even the Scorpions sing in English.
Yeah.
But is it true what Lemmy was saying in his book, that if you don't break through the American market, you've done nothing?
I don't agree with that these days. I think the thing is that the American market is the golden egg, and it takes a huge amount of touring and time. I mean, basically, if you're a metal band, they say, if you're kind of commercial, you can break through active rock, but that format changes. Otherwise, you have to do what they call the Slayer route, which is doing hundreds and hundreds of dates and continually touring. And the thing with American infrastructure, something you were telling me about venues here, you can have a gold record in America and you're still playing venues of a certain size. They're either huge or you've got these 1,500, 2,000 capacities and stuff. So it's very... And certain bands, say, like bands like Buck Cherry and stuff that have kind of persevered for a long time.
You're crazy, bitch.
They, you know, these bands are big in the Midwest. So what you've got is, you know, different scenes in America, and the way it's structured as a country, they're very insular. You know, you can be huge in one state and you go to another. You know, you play in a place where they're all Mormon. They might in Salt Lake City, there's not as many people. So, yeah, break in America, the thing is, if a record label has a plan for a band, and America is really important on a big push. But to me, you know, I've got bands that have OPEF charted at number 15 in the Billboard charts. They can sell 2,500 tickets in the major markets. But still, I would say we would make more money in Europe if you're looking at money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the whole American system, the taxation for bands, the trade restrictions, it's not exactly make it easy for you. When American bands come to Europe, we say, oh, yeah, come, don't worry about the taxes. So mm-hmm. I don't think they give us a lot of breaks, and it's, there's a lot of bureaucracy there. So an inexperienced manager could have their band touring, and they find out they've got CWA tax, it's 30%, then the state tax, so... I don't know. I mean, America, it's obviously it's great to do well there, but I don't, especially if we're talking about metal bands, it's not a be all and end all to me.
Mm-hmm. Говорихме за това, насочих разговора към това, че нали, винаги да се говорил за британска сцена и американска сцена, за тези групи. Това, което Леви казваше, а и много други, че практически ако ти да пробиеш в Америка, все едно не си пробил, той каза. Не съм много съгласен, защото последните години е малко по-различно. Сцената в Америка или по-точно са много фрагментирани нещата. Ще се опитам по-набързо и синтезирано да ви кажа това, което разказа Анди. Но ето, например, говорики за концерти, ето Opeth пробиха в Америка, наистина. По принцип се счита, че да свириш в Америка, в Америка се намира златното яйце, че правиш много пари. Но там има една схема, ето Opeth с продажби на албуми бяха на 15-то място в класацията на Billboard. Обаче има нещо друго, че когато започнеш да свириш на живо, там има адски много данъци, такси и така нататък. Което практически ти си популярен, продаваш албуми, но когато става дума за концерти, продаваш билети, но това не означава, че правиш пари. Обратното е, европейците тук в Европа посрещаме много по-добре американските групи, така че може би от така гледна точка съотношението е по-добро. Well, before keep on talking, as I said, it's priceless to have you with us today. Let's listen to the first song of the latest album by And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead. Това е парчето, което открива албумът с номер 9 на групата And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead, който излезе през ноември 2014.
Yeah.
Анди Фарол от Northern Music е в нашето студио. Имаме честа да говорим с менеджера на групи като Opeth, Katatoria, Paradise Lost, Bloodbath, Violent Fire и Devin Townsend, както и много други. So, well, yeah, it's that a lot of talking about how much the musical business had dramatically changed recently. We all can see and feel that the biggest change is the record sale in the internet and stuff, and that the live concerts are like a priority probably for most of the bands nowadays. But according to you, what is indeed another big change, if any?
Well, I think the big change is that, you know, with rock and metal bands, you know, one thing, the good side of it is obviously with general CD sales going down, you know, metal bands have got very loyal fan bases. And so for a while, metal was pushed into the underground, didn't get the coverage. And then, you know, you've got these bands, Iron Maiden, Metallica, you know, huge fan bases around the world. So your metal fan likes to collect stuff. So whether it's merchandise or they buy vinyl. So while CD sales are down, vinyl sales are up about 28% worldwide. We sell loads of vinyl. Opeth fans tend to be 35 plus. So they've got disposable income. So we do some high-end packages. And the other thing is that because CD sales are down, you know, sometimes a fan will say, why is a t-shirt cost this amount of money? But you have to pay percentage to the venue, the manager, the VAT and everything. So, and other things are VIP tickets, which again, some people don't like and they feel that it's the bands whoring themselves out. But they really, because the income streams have changed, they have to look at other ways of making money, you know. So we've done some DVDs here. DVDs don't sell as much as they used to, but it's also about creating an angle. But I would say, you know, with income streams, you've got to be smarter with your merchandise, add value to tickets, whether it's VIP tickets, meeting the bands, different items. So when we have a special events, we might do wine glasses that are engraved. People will pay for that. We do vinyl with an exclusive t-shirt in a wooden box with a stencil. So I think you've got to be to give the fan more quality, because what happened with CDs, especially, like if you're on a major label, they give you 12 pages. So artwork is reduced from the size of a 12-inch vinyl down to a little CD, and then it's 12 pages. So sometimes we've said, well, we don't care what the label do, and we make our own booklet, which we get the band to sign, and we do it as an add-on. So mm-hmm. with the Heritage album, with Opeth, we did the making of Heritage booklet, and this way we can really sell on the pre-sale. So if a record label cuts back on what's there, we can add stuff. So with Heritage, we did a gold coin. It became very exclusive. The British Museum is exhibiting it. So it's about being smart, not just, oh, here's a sticker or some dog chain or something.
You're
like
challenging
that.
My memory, because I have to translate all this.
Okay.
Въпросът беше, окей, всички знаем, че голямата разлика, не, голямата промяна в последните години в музикалния бизнес е това, че знаем, заради интернет спаднаха продажбите на албуми и съответно групите се ориентират основно в концертите и така нататък. Приоритетите се изместиха, но кой е другата голяма промяна? Анди, казах, всъщност говорим, ако говорим за метал, тук е важно да се подчертая, че феновете на метала са адски лоялни. Ето, в световен мащаб групи като Metallica, Iron Maiden имат тонове фенове навсякъде по света, легиори. Също така метал феновете заради своята лоялност и големи колекционери събират плочи, какво ли не. И всъщност идеята е, че в тази ситуация трябва да се оцелява наистина. Това се случва, когато си умен. Ето, специалните издания, например, в последните години, хората, които са фенове лоялни, много се запалиха и по издаването на различни албуми на винилови плочи. Тази индустрия, специално в метал жанра, има ръст от 28%. Феновете на Opeth, например, са на възраст над 35 години и се очаква и имат наистина големи доходи. Всъщност има и нещо друго. Правим VIP пакети, т.е. комбинации от фанелка с албум или пък по-специални издания, защото знаете, че разликата между един винил като пространство и книжката на един диск е доста смаляващо. Всъщност, ако направим 35 страници буклет, т.е. книжка, така или иначе, ние не даваме толкова на рекорд на звукозаписната компания да го прави, защото ние можем да го направим по-добре. Така, например, с албума Heritage на Opeth направихме такова специално издание, плюс допълнителни неща за специални концерти, гравирани чаши за Виро и така нататък. Има много възможности. Въпросът е да си умен и да взимаш, да имаш идеи, да правиш, т.е. да взимаш правилните решения. So it would be interesting because I know that, you know, Tangra Mega Rock Radio has a huge impact on the Bulgarian musician society and stuff, and loads of Bulgarian bands have struggled for years to get out of the local oyster, let's call it. So what, to make the long story short, the question would be, what would interest you in managing a band be coming from Bulgaria, not being Bulgarian, because it means nothing then.
Okay. Well, whether you're saying coming from Bulgaria or any country away from me, you know, the first thing when you're managing a band, you have to think, okay, if I'm going to break this band worldwide, how can I transport them from this country? So, for example, you know, I'm going to Orphan Land came to me, the band from Israel. It's very expensive to fly them out. So you know, if a band is in Sofia, you know, you don't have, there's quite a lot of flights here, but not loads. So one thing is, if you are going to a record label to say there's this band from Bulgaria, and they're going to think, well, you know, we need to send them for promo and things like that. So this is one thing. But if the band is brilliant, I don't care where they're from. I would say, you know, Bulgarian bands shouldn't just say, oh yeah, well we're in Bulgaria and we're stuck in Bulgaria, because, you know, I think metal is very much a worldwide thing. It doesn't really matter where you're from. And, you know, you've got Scandinavian bands. You know, there's so many. That
you just mentioned Israel.
Yeah.
You remember that movie, you know, the documentary of the guy doing that, the hag banging is all around.
Yeah.
Coming to even Iran and what else was like? Anyway, yeah.
No. But that's it. You know, I mean, with Opeth, we've just done a T-shirt with Thula Arabic, because we've got loads of fans in the Middle East, even in places like Saudi Arabia and stuff. So I think that it doesn't, you know, as obviously if you were a band from the Middle East where it's illegal and you can't get out and you can't record, that's difficult. So a band, you know, a band from Bulgaria, Bulgaria is a country where you're situated in Europe, you're actually quite close to other countries that have big metal and rock scenes. So, you know, the first thing is to start touring outside of Bulgaria. And, you know, the big dream, like bands say, oh yeah, well, and they'll go to some conferences. It's all very expensive. So, you know, I'm all about building a fan base. I mean, you know, the reality is bands like Goggle Bordello have, you know, had a huge buzz, kind of a sound.
Start wearing purple.
Yeah, that's probably coming from an area like this, and they've translated it and everything, you know, to Western markets. But
well, the thing that they had moved to New York before, so
they used
their bloody roots.
Yeah, they use their roots. But every large city, there's always sections, you know, there's loads of Bulgarian people.
Chicago is a place, yeah.
In the UK. So, I mean, to me, the thing to do is, you know, a mass fan base. So the first thing I would say is, one, with your name, make sure it's a name that people can say in every country. Because I was in Norway, and not only I couldn't read the logos because they were spiky, but I said, what's this mean? And they said, it means cattle something. And, you know, Rammstein, an Englishman, we can say Rammstein. Other things that we can't pronounce, there's a problem. So you need to think internationally. So, you know, I'm not saying sing in English, but the bottom line is, Devin Townsend's guitar tech is Spanish, and I said, well, how did you learn English? He said, I was listening to Iron Maiden and I wanted to know what they were singing about, and, you know, so music drove him to it. So, you know, whether your English is tough or whatever, sing in English because it's international, and have a name that people can easily say.
Yeah, like And you will know us by the trail of
dead. Exactly. So, and you will know us by the trail of dead is a big mouthful. And so that's why people call them trail of dead, or they use the, yes, but they're an art, punk, rock
Let me
type
do
band.
This in Bulgarian, man. Yeah. Sorry. Всъщност, преди факта, че той е менеджер, много успешен и контролира бизнеса на толкова много групи, които всички да, ние много харесваме, а и по целия свят ги познават, попитах го, добре, де, всъщност, ако аз съм българска група, част от българска група, какъв е съветът ти? Какво би привлякло интереса ти към една група от тук? Той каза, по принцип, дали от България или не, по принцип, това няма значение. Единственото е, че, ето, например, когато говорихме с Orphaned Land от Израел на времето, и лейбълите по принцип питат какъв е начинът, дали е близо, дали можеш да я транспортираш. Това не е чак такъв проблем, разбира се, ако групата е блестяща, винаги се намира начин, но всъщност най-важното е тази група да свири, да започне да свири и извън България, да натрупа собствена публика, ферове. Фен базата е изключително важна. Ето, сигурно си спомняте, Гогол Бордело, които, така както започнаха в Нью-Йорк, но започнаха да използват своите етнически корени, защото ето и в Англия има адски много българи дори, т.е. това са пазари, за които трябва да се мисли. А другото нещо е името да е такова, което може да се разбира на всички езици. Не е задължително дори групата от България да пее на английски, но важното е името да се разпознава. Рамштайн, аз мога да произнеса Рамштайн на английски дори, а пък ако знаете китардия техник на Девин Таузен, той е испански, попитах го как е научил английски, той е научил английски като е слушал текстове на Iron Maiden, защото искал да разбере какво означавате. We'll get back to this, but let me play some Devin Townsend now, the Devin Townsend project. This is the song with our good friend Anneke van Heersbergen, called Hyperdrive. It's a haunting song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not the latest album.
I know, but we're here to stay, so we have history as well.
Yeah, I'm here to sell.
Sandy Farrow още ще поговорим. I'll get back to you again asking you about if I record a song, what should I do? That you got to be my manager. But before that, when you talk to bands, normally the cliche for years has been, what is the thing that has been influencing you for years? But you, do you have a star manager that you, when you were starting the business, you learned from what he was doing?
Okay.
Not necessarily a guy that you had the chance to know.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, managers, they have people they look up to as well. I mean, you know, I suppose growing up, my background was punk rock. I'm not going to say it was Malcolm McLaren because the Sex Pistols hated him. But, you know, as I got older, you look at, say, Peter Grant that did Led Zeppelin. To a certain extent, management in the 70s was a bit thuggish. There was a lot of, you know, Don Ard and Sharon Osbourne's dad suspending people out of windows and... But somebody like Peter Grant initiated what is known as a versus deal now on percentages. Mm-hmm. Something some promoters don't like to do, giving percentages. So it's basically he pushed through for Led Zeppelin to get 90%. Because if you really believe in your band and a promoter says, oh, I don't know, you say, all right, we'll take less of a guarantee versus a higher percentage. But when you're doing budgets, you tend to think, oh, well, you know, we need the guarantee because if something goes wrong or the weather's bad or something like that. So, yeah, I think, you know, I mean, Peter Grant, you know, I've read all the Led Zeppelin books and, yeah, I mean, he invented a kind of new style of management, the way he dealt with bootleggers, but it was bordering on gangsterish in a way. And, you know, I read this book called Svengali's and Managers, and there's all these characters and, you know, the Colonel Parker who did Elvis Presley. I mean, you know, Elvis had a very tough deal.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, the story used to be, well, that'll do for me, but what about my boy kind of thing when money was offered. So, yeah, you know, but it's like when you meet people, and what's interesting for me managing over the years, some people expect some old man, well, I'm becoming an old man now, but, you know, with a big grey beard, but
yeah.
Everybody's getting younger and younger in this business. And, you know, the guy that manages Adele at the moment, I knew him as a young A&R man at Warner Records, and it's certainly some record label people end up being managers. And I don't necessarily think if you've been an A&R man at a major, you know about management, because management, you have to be jack of all trades. And how would I put it? That you have people that know what's happening on the street and know business experience. You have some band whose dad's got loads of money, who spends it all on the band, that kind of manager. And then you have a mixture of people that know what's happening, and you've got the finger on the pulse so that you can surf the wave of whatever scene's happening, along with the business acumen. So there are degrees in music business and everything, but you can't be experienced. So new young managers, the best thing to do is to go do an internship, even if you don't get paid, and you work within a management company and you can learn.
I will translate just a little part of what you just said. For one reason, it's very simple. I encourage people to learn languages.
Mm.
Even though it's a Bulgarian-based radio, I think that's a good mission.
Okay.
Въпросът беше добре, де всъщност знаем, че когато питаме групите, обикновенно им задаваме въпроса, клише, кои са групите и музиката, която ви е вдъхновявала. Всъщност за един менеджер в този суров и жесток музикален бизнес, като нашия гост Анди Фароу, кои са хората, фарове в този бизнес, които са го вдъхновили и той е следвал тяхната посока. Той каза, да, като човек, който идва от пънк средите, бих казал Малкъм Макларън, но всъщност не бих казал, защото групата не го харесва и не го обичала никога. Иначе, всъщност, чел съм и книгите Питър Грант, Цеперин. Той измисля тази история с процентите, които могат да се взимат от групите допълнително по време на концерт, от групите, от процентите, от продажбите, от всичко нещо, което се случва. Разбира се, има много неща, свързани с почти мутренското му поведение, Но така или иначе, другата част, която е твърде дълга, няма да ви я превеждам с идеята, както обясних на Анди, че по този начин това е една от мисиите на радиото ни, а пък и винаги можете да чуете нещата в подкаст и да ги слушате по-бавно, за да разберете. Една от мисиите е колкото се може повече хора все повече да разбират всякакви езици, не само английски, разбира се. So one of the final question is basically listening and managing bands like Bloodbath, let's say. Of course, I know starting from punk rock that all these bands had Napalm Death recently were our band of the week here on the radio. The good bands are always do have this bit punky attitude or even in the structures, but nowadays, what are you into?
Well, musically...
I mean, not what you sing in the shower, that's another cliche question, but is there anything new that you were blown away by discovering, saying, wow, that's great?
Yeah, I mean, there was a band recently out of France called Trapaulin that are kind of...
How do you pronounce it?
Well, this is the problem. What was I saying about names? Typical French. Sorry, French people. Trapaulin.
It has nothing to do with Trapon and Paul.
No, not the industrial band. So Trapaulin, and they're kind of, they've supported Gojira. They're like, they've got groove like Clutch have, but they've got a horn section like a ska band may have.
And, Jesus.
and the Guardian newspaper's gone crazy on the band. And yeah, so I was like, this is different. I really like this. And yeah, so it's kind of like most bands, they send stuff to you and it's the similar formula and there's nothing different. But
how do you spell?
This is a good question. T-R-E
yeah.
P-A-L-I-U-M, I think. Trapaulin. Trapaulin.
Trapaulin.
Yeah. But this is what I was saying about names. This is a...
Yeah.
Попитах го всъщност, добре, очевидно като си менеджер на дори такива екстремни групи като Bloodbath, ето чувате музика от албума Grand Morbid Funeral. Всъщност не просто каква музика слушаш, ясно е, че продължаваш да слушаш и такава, но има ли нещо, което напоследък да те удрило като изненада, е бати колко е яко това? Той каза, да, има една френска група, в крайна сметка тя се казва Trapaulin. Няма нищо общо с индастриал боговете от Франция, Trapon and Paul. Те имат същия грув като Gojira, но в същото време използват и духови инструменти. И по принцип това е групата, всъщност това е отговорът на Анди Фарол по отношение на въпроса какво е нещото, което го е впечатлило напоследък. Two more questions to go. One is, are you optimistic about the future of, I wouldn't put it punk, metal, whatever. Are you, because I'm sure that you follow the press and like all these discussions, like one of Gene Simmons said, rock is dead. It's been another cliche, trendy song title for years for different bands, yeah. Like let's say Lenny Kravitz or whatever. But do you... believe and do you see that still any rebellion left in rock and roll, rebellion alive? Well, or it's all business?
No, I don't think it's all business. I mean, you know, I came from the punk scene and, you know, we would gather, we were political. I do think that kids these days, especially in the metal scene, there might be some extreme bands, but they're often not singing about politics. That there isn't that kind of rebellion. But what I do think is the whole punk metal scene is, you know, for me, rock is definitely not dead. I think it's bigger than ever. And sometimes when it gets pushed underground again, that's when good stuff comes out. Because when you look at bands, I mean, bands like Slipknot were broken by their labels on a formula that was used for hip hop, which was giving loads of cassettes out and things like that. Mass, like giving it to people. This is the new thing. So, you know, sometimes to be pushed underground, you do get more rebellious. You know, when I was a teenager buying God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols, this was so rebellious, I'd hide it under my bed. And now you compare it to some extreme satanic band. I mean, this is, it's nothing, you know. I mean, it sounds like a three-chord R&B band, but I think that the punk metal scene is, no, I mean, for me, business is better than it's ever been, but, you know, what I do miss is that danger, element of danger, because, you know, people corpse paint, all of this, we've heard it all before, and it's all been done before, but, you know, that actual, maybe on a political side, and again, you know, being in a country like Bulgaria, what you've been through, but, like, to find people that are fighting the system or are saying something, you know, because this again is the other cliche with heavy metal or this satanic lyrics. It's like, you know, what is it? It's theater. Some of it is theater. And, you know, that's why I suppose, you know, even though I don't deal so much on the hardcore end of things or punk, but, you know, the kind of the rebellion end or having a message is kind of missing, if you see what I mean.
Въпросът ми беше добре да предвид факта, че в последните години стара клише това човек да си кръщава песните в албумите като Рокът е мъртъв, Rock is Dead. Дали той като човек, който има много широк поглед върху различни аспекти и видове рок и рол музика, е оптимистично настроен към бъдещето. Той каза, о да, в момента рокът е в по-добра позиция от всякога. Дали бунтовният дух е запазен? Ами, всъщност интересното при рока е, че понякога той слиза по-андерграунд и тогава някак си се възстановява, става по-як от преди. Ще ви кажа, че когато бях дете, бунта в God Save the Queen на Sex Pistols беше толкова голям, че аз си криех плочата, която си бях купил под леглото от нашите. Ако сравнявате това с някои, т.е. с екстремната музика днес, то звучи адски меко, но всъщност бунта беше във всичко, в обложката, в парчето и така нататък. Днес всичко е направено, разбира се, трудно можеш да изненадаш някой, корпс пейнтинга, това боядисване на лицата и така нататък, всичко да е изпробвано. Slipknot, например, те пък пробваха и техния рекорд лейбъл осъществи пробива им по същия начин, по който действа хип-хоп схемата, раздаване на касети безплатно и казва, кей, това ще бъде следващото голямо нещо. Единствената работа, която малко ми липсва от бунта е, не съм чак толкова в хардкора, но всъщност е, естествено, вие в България и в страни като това знаете какво е този... Това послание, но всъщност тук ще спра да превеждам, защото времето ри изтича. I have actually one request and one last question. Mr. Andy Farrow, could you started as a singer, could you please sing us the best line ever that you sing now? When you're angry. Well, let's do God Save the Queen then.
I'm not singing. No.
Come on, Matt. What I can do,
all right.
The only thing I could do for you is to play the song so, you know, you can hide behind Johnny Rotten's stuff. But
how much you want me to sing?
No, just the first line, right. Because I want to feel the natural and authentic anger of a British teenager, or you can choose another Sex Pistols song like Pretty Vacant if you feel like. What do you prefer? Like God Save the Queen if you feel like. It's like an iconic song, right? Then I'll play the French band, but there's still one question left. Are you ready for the pistols?
I'm not ready to sing, no.
Yeah, scream, shout, rap, if you feel like.
Save the Queen! The regime! Made you a moron. Potential H-bomb. Can't have this on the...
Yeah. Okay, man. Thank you very much. And last question is, according to you, who is... Oops. I need to stop this because I need your full concentration on answering this. Mm. Последното нещо, което ще помоля Анди сега да направи. Who is the singer for Slayer?
Tom Araya.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been an immense pleasure having you on the radio.
Thank you. Cheers.
Това са Trepalium с Moonshine Limbo, въпросната френска група, за която той говореше. Всъщност това е една шега, попитах го коя е фигурата, която съществява вокалите в Slayer, защото на времето, когато е бил в онези среди, неговите метал приятели са се шегували с него, защото той е от пънка. Кой е певецът на Slayer? Той без да се замисли, естествено каза Slayer. Хайде, je suis Charlie. Trepalium с Moonshine Limbo. Все пак след тази песен на францетата, за които ни светна Анди Фарол, ето, I'm not putting any bloody stuff to sound now, just clean voices, right? Ще се възползвам от факта, че той все още е тук и си довършваме вирото. We finish up our wine, so I'm gonna ask you again to tell us something more. I'm gonna use all the information from you. Is there something that us here, being at the bottom of Europe, I'm missing from what is happening in the eye of the storm, in the live industry, in rock and roll, whatever?
Well, in the live industry, I mean, the most exciting band and the latest addition to the management roster is a band called Beast Milk. They're from Finland. The singer is English. He lives there. And It was the promoters across most of Europe. They discovered the band before the record labels, and now all the record labels are after this band, and they've got all the festivals. They're not reinventing the wheel. It's post-punk. You can hear Southern Death Cult guitar, Johnny Marr guitar, crossed with Ian Curtis vocals. But it's something. It's very refreshing and exciting for me, especially with my punk background.
How do you call the band?
Beast Milk.
Beast like the number beast, of the beast?
Yes. So Beast Milk, at first I heard, oh, there's this band, Beast Milk. I'm like, well, that's a terrible name. Talking about names you put into Google, it says Breast Milk.
Yeah, change it.
Well, no comment there. But, Beast Milk. But, you know, there's a story behind the name and everything and how they got there. But, you know, the band's imagery is very, very strong. And, you know, the debut album's called Climax, and they've had press right across the board, from metal to indie to magazines like Q, The Guardian, Der Spiegel. So, I mean, it's been it's a band that's crossing both, because they come from a real metal scene, and you know, a very dark scene, and I think they're crossing into the alternative scene as well.
I just noticed that we have a song in our program from that Climax album. It's called "Death Reflects Us." Is it any good? I know it, but is it representative of what they are? Because this is the only song that we have in our program.
Yeah, I would say it does. I mean, it's the obvious single. There's three singles on the album. This has worked very well in alternative clubs, as well as metal clubs, and listen to the chorus and dance.
Всъщност, попитах наистина коя група, която изпускаме, то каза Beast Milk, пише се една дума, които подписаха току-що с нашата компания. Но всъщност те бяха открити от концертните организатори преди лейбърите. Всъщност, да, жестока група, не измислят колелото или топлата вода, но ето, аз му казах, абе, знаеш ли, всъщност оказа се сега, че имаме едно парче тук от въпросния техен албум Climax. Дали става? Той каза, да, това е един от синглите, Death Reflects Us. Слушайте особено припева и можете да танцуваме на него. Once again, thank you.
Thank you.
Andy Farrow, ladies and gentlemen. А сега, Beast Milk, Death Reflects Us. Os, as you say this in Liverpool, os.
I'm not from Liverpool, but the os was Yorkshire, yeah.
Yeah. Ето, парчето започва.